Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, guys. 505 DGS. If you are listening at 11:20 a.m., you fool, go to 98.7 FM. It sounds way, way better. And it works pretty much from Wentzville to Collinsville. So check us out. My next guest is my buddy Al Raboski. Al, it's been a long time. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, and congratulations to you and your new gig.
Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate that. Al and I became friends, I don't know, a few years ago. We run the same dais lots of times at fundraisers, and then Al kept me from falling out of a plane. Do you remember that one, Al, when we were on the Osprey?
I do. I do remember that.
But now I really do remember it.
Yeah, we were on the Osprey.
We were on the Osprey, you know,
Marine Week.
During Marine Week.
And they lowered the gangway, and my dumbass was like, look, I can see the ground. And just like I started to go, and Al grabbed my belt and pulled me back in and called me a dumbass. And here I am on KMOX.
That's funny.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was you or that other dumb whatever.
Yeah. No, it was me, not Bulger.
Talking with Al and talking about Cardinal baseball and then what you just said about 98.7, one of the coolest things, and I just had this experience for the first time the other day, was listening to a Cardinal game on the FM dial.
Oh, yeah.
And hearing, you know.
It's nice.
There's something traditional and you know, nostalgic about listening to the Cardinals on 11:20 because it's how I've listened my whole life. But to listen on FM as I'm driving around the city on the 98.7 signal, Pretty cool.
Al, let's talk a little X's and O's. I was talking to Wheeler and Ackerman, and I didn't realize this. I don't watch the game closely enough like they do. But they were talking about how pitching, especially starting pitching, has become so overpowering in the game, and how the MLB is trying to make changes. How do you feel, first of all, do you think that's true? And secondly, how do you feel about monkeying around with the game?
Well, I'm a little concerned about the game right now because it seems like it comes down to one of three elements. That's a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. There's just not enough action, you know, for the young kids. And, you know, pitching is dominant. I don't think that there's a lot of the younger fans can really appreciate a 1-0 ball game or a 2-1 game where every pitch could determine the outcome. But, you know, we've gotten away from the running game. A lot of the things that, you know, showed action. And now these guys are so gifted athletes. I mean, they're so much bigger. They're stronger. It's amazing what they can do on the field. But it's just, you know, one of the things is fundamentals are not as prevalent as they were in my era. And I just think that, you know, they don't play at the same intensity that we did.
Al, do you think it's just sort of a natural progression the way that, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, no one was dunking a basketball, and now it's so prevalent? Is it kind of similar in baseball?
Well, I think it's gotten to the point of analytics is running the game. A lot of the baseball, you know, former baseball players are not in management positions. If you got an MBA or a doctorate from an Ivy League school and you had some analytics in your schooling, you know, you can get a job from Major League Baseball. All 30 clubs are calling you. So it's, you know, they've tried to tinker with it in so many different ways. And somehow it's, you know, it still seems like it was when Admiral Doubleday, as Shannon would say, discovered the game or brought the game to us. you know, was such a simple game, and now it's very complicated.
Al, it's Tony Colombo. Along the same lines, I've been asking every baseball person we've had an opportunity to talk to the same question, especially interested in hearing your answer, being a pitcher. But what about the idea, it looks like almost an inevitability, of the designated hitter coming in the National League? What do you think of that?
Well, I don't like it at all. It's a much better game in the National League without the DH. The DH came into existence back in 1973. It's kind of a gimmick to help some of the aging stars of baseball stay in the game as they could be a designated hitter. You know, it has evolved and everything to where now it's usually one of the higher priced players on your team. So, you know, the Players Association is going to continue to lobby. I'm sure they want it, and then the owners want to use it as negotiating ploy for the upcoming CBA. So, I'm happy that at least this year we're playing National League rules. I'm just afraid it's inevitable that we're going to see the DH come in.
Al, you know the team well. Any individual players out there who you are especially excited by, just as a student of the game?
Well, you know, I mean, we always have our favorites and everything, but, you know, I could say one thing, that it always seems like the Cardinal organization has class individuals. So it's so easy to root for a lot of the young kids. You know, they're just a bunch of guys that just have amazing talent, and with the nutrition, everything that they have going for them today, you know, they're just such gifted athletes. And I can say, you know, I could hold my own at one point, but these guys are really good today.
How do you feel? So, obviously, I never reached any sort of a level like you, but when I was a kid, and I'm sure it was the same way when you were a kid, we played every sport. And now, if kids show any talent, they specialize in just one, and they go to all these camps, and they don't play other sports. How do you feel about that in general, just as most people aren't going to make it to the bigs, and does it make them a better overall athlete?
We have a family show here, so I can't tell you what I really think, but I'm totally against it. I mean, you know, like you said, play all sports. I didn't play baseball at a young age. I was a football player, and I had, you know, and I kind of say I was a football mentality on the pitcher's mound, but I didn't start pitching until I was a senior in high school, and, you know, I got to the big leagues when I was 20, but I think that and I always said that my football background was one of the greatest things for me as a competitor. And I think when you play all the sports, you pick up things that, you know, they're going to help you in whatever sport you ultimately decide. But first of all, you know, these kids ought to be playing these sports so they get an education, you know, get the scholarship and everything. And then after that, if they're fortunate enough or lucky enough to play professional, by all means do it. But chances are they're not even going to get that invitation to a tryout camp. And yet I see these kids today playing in some of these select teams. I got a grandson that, you know, that I watch, and you know, it's amazing what they're doing, but they it's never about winning. It's all about, you know, launch angle, exit velocity, you know, spin rate, all these different things. And they go to these tryout camps, they do these different things, and it's all, you know, it's all about me. And that you gotten away from the team concept.
Wow. What a great point. What a great point.
Yes.
Al, obviously, you know, when we were young, no one made as much money at anything as they do now, but it's gotta really hit guys like you, like 20 years later, and we're probably not talking. You're on a private island somewhere.
Dave, you know what? You're just setting me up to be frustrated. So, my approach is that, hey, I was lucky enough to make what I did in my time because the guys 20, 30 years before me got nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything is you know, you can relate to everything. I don't begrudge the guys what they make. I just ask two things, you know, hustle and be fan friendly. And if you do those things, you know, I'm going to back you.
We've got a long way to go, but Al, how great is it to have fans back in Busch Stadium? And do you think it'll be this season, or is it going to be a little bit longer before we are able to pack the house again?
Well, first of all, you know, some of the biggest stars last year really struggled without fans. Mm-hmm. And to me, every player, if the biggest thing that they should have taken away from last season is what the fans mean to this game and what they mean to them. Because if there's no fans, nobody's paying the freight for these guys to make what they make. Mm-hmm. So I think it's should be every player's, you know, to go out there still in, we are still in the COVID protocols, but, you know, to make sure and acknowledge the fans and thank them for sticking with the club. But this game's for the fans. So I'm happy to say I played when I played. You know, I think I was an entertainer when it was a sport. Now it's entertainment. There's very few entertainers.
Very true.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
You're saying some smart things.
No kidding.
So do you still throw the ball around, like with your grandkids? And if so, can you still throw with a little zip on it?
No. 100% no. I've had a bunch of surgeries, 7 spine surgeries. I've had 2 on my shoulder, but it's my right shoulder. The only place in my body I haven't had surgery is my left arm.
Wow.
And that's probably a byproduct because I didn't start pitching until I was a senior in high school. And I built up, you know, my upper body, you know, by being ready for football. But I never lifted weights. You know, weights were taboo when we got into baseball. But it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that it's still a lovely game. I just wish there'd be a little more action in there. And, mm-hmm. But I only want it from one side. You know, the Cardinals side.
That's right. Al's kind of going back a couple questions, but just to follow up, since you brought it up, how do you feel about 13-year-olds throwing curveballs and sliders and things like that? Is that too young?
I think it is. I think that kids really should wait till they're 15 or 16. I've had one question I asked parents, and I said, well, you know, is it worth it to have the greatest, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old pitcher in the world? But he hurt his arm at such a young age, he didn't get a chance to get a scholarship or even get into pro ball. I used to, you know, go along with the mad Hungarian. I'd see a young kid, he asked me how to throw a curveball, and I said, let me break your arm. He go, what do you mean? You know, I go, hey, I saw 3 grown men throw pitches and break their arms. What do you think you're going to do at 10 years of age? Mm. You know, just go out there and, you know, fingertip pressure, throw the ball off to, you know, on the side a little bit, all those different things. But most of their hands aren't big enough, you know, to really get out there and do it. And I do see, you know, kids that, you know, my grandson's 13. I see kids out there throwing curveballs and stuff. But, you know, how much longer are they going to do it?
Yeah.
They only have so many pitches there.
Al, thanks for being with us. Thanks for holding me inside that plane. I always appreciate it.
You got it. And once again, congratulations.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks, Al. Good dude. Very good dude. Mm-hmm. He really did hold me in that plane, too.
And now you're here.
Here I am.
It all goes back to Al.
523 DGS. Okay, so I know what NFTs are in the most basic way.
That's all I know, too.
And
I
Rach,
know what they are in the
so
most
the
basic
disaster
way.
Girl, is that what she's called?
Yeah, the popular meme of the cute little girl who's standing in front of a fire and looking over her shoulder with a devilish look, as if to say, it was I who started the fire. She made that meme into an NFT, a non-fungible token, and recently sold it for $500,000.
Oh my gosh.
She's an adult now, and now she's a half a millionaire.
Okay. I understand if it's going to hold its value and increase, because you could buy a painting that you think is dumb. It's just like a big white canvas with a single black dot. Fine. Buy it for $500,000, sell it for $1 million. But do you guys, I mean, of all the things that are going on right now, the NFT thing feels like it's going to be gone quick.
Oh, yeah. I was just texting with our pal Amy Markscores about this, and I was like, there's no way that this lasts, right? This is going to fizzle out. And she said, almost certainly. Especially something like the disaster girl, the little girl in front of the fire. That was a meme that was really popular 10 years ago. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how into memes or internet culture you've really gotten, but about 10, 15 years ago, I was really into something called a rage comic that was on Reddit, and it was just silly drawings. I would sit in my library at college and laugh until my stomach hurt at these stupid comics. I thought it was like the height of comedy. And now I couldn't crack a smile at one. Like, these things have shelf lives. Like, they, you cycle through them. I would never even smile at the Disaster Girl meme anymore because it's just over. It's done. The joke's been done to death. So especially things like that, I'm really confused how it's going for so much money, because it's not like in 30 years there's going to be a resurgence. It's just going to be a new thing. I just don't understand.
And it's Chuji.
It's
oh,
what?
Okay. Okay.
It's what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I know what you're doing. I just want, let me
don't
finish my thought.
Don't do it.
On that.
Don't.
No, I won't let anybody off the hook.
All right.
But I just assumed that you were going to do that story now. When, like, a piece of art, when somebody buys a painting for $10 million and that seems ridiculous, I get it, because they're buying it because they know that that at some point will be worth $20 million. And it's an investment as much as it is a piece of your collection. I don't see the investment value. And is this NFT at one point going to become worth $1 million? Mm-hmm. Because if not, if that's not what the purpose of buying them are,
mm-hmm.
because they're valuable pieces of something, mm-hmm. then what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to each their own. I almost spent $1,000 on Vince Vaughn's outfit when they were playing football from Wedding Crashers.
Right.
Just and like at the time, my family said, "What are you gonna do with it?" I'm like, "Just wear it, pull it out at barbecues." I don't know.
Yeah, but at least you could touch it. At least it was physically yours.
Yeah.
This is just, you own the rights to a meme that's already been circulated.
Having a collection that you show.
Chuji was in the show prep today. Chuji. And thank God they spelled it phonetically for me. It's the new term from TikTok for the opposite of trendy.
Oh,
so if
okay.
something is it's just chuji? Very yesterday, it's very chuji.
Okay.
You heard anybody use that one?
I have not yet.
I was going to let her dangle. Tony's like,
worry.
Oh, here he goes.
I'll spend 8 hours on TikTok tonight and try to find someone saying Chuji.
That's a couple of fun facts.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein's IQ. I'm very dubious about IQ points, like 185. Mm-hmm. I just think, eh. But Albert Einstein's IQ is generally accepted to have been 160. Marilyn Monroe's was 163.
Wow.
You ever read any of her diary? They published it. It's fascinating. It really, truly is. It's not like, oh, I slept with RFK and I wanted to sleep with JFK. It was just like writing down her thoughts, and it's truly fascinating. Mm. Like, she was really insightful. That's all I had.
It's just dead silence.
It was really just a fun fact. Was it Chuji? Is that what it was?
No, it was fine.
It is so Chuji.
For almost all of the 1800s, maps of Africa had a mountain range called the Mountains of Kong, which never existed, but they still showed up as late as 1995.
Did they ever give a reason?
You just...
Some map...
You're going to copy a map?
Yeah, exactly.
There's the Mountains of Kong.
Yeah, somebody put them there.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of accepted forever.
Crazy, right?
Yes.
Last segment of the day, I'm going to hand it over to Kevin Wheeler for the pregame show. This week's, for us, pretty much like last week. We're out about this time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Day game on Wednesday, so we'll close it out. It's weird, right? It's weird.
It's weird.
Strange.
So weird. Two people.
Oh, so weird.
Two people who I have a lot of respect for right now. I've never liked Will Smith, but he just, did you see his posting with his shirt off? He's like, it's by far the worst shape I've ever been in my life. And he still looks better than 99% of humans.
Yes.
But he's got a little pudge.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. And then I loved Jessica Simpson. She said, quote, I have no idea how much I weigh. I just want to be able to feel good and zip my pants up. If I don't, I have another size. I have every size. I've really tried my hardest to not let that define me. I'm a 56-year-old man, and I haven't done that yet. I still weigh every day. I worry about it. Like, good for Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that should be the way life is. Like, don't let yourself go, because it's bad for everything. It's bad for your health overall, but...
But don't obsess.
Yeah, don't obsess.
And nobody knows what your tag says, because it's on the inside of your clothing. You're
so
the only
true.
Person who knows. No one's looking at you and saying, oh, they squeezed into an extra small. Like, they don't know. They're not thinking about
how
it.
Come,
they don't care.
How come that's never been a terrible fashion fad.
What's that?
Having the size on the outside as like a
I'm surprised that Levi's thing. Does it on the outside of jeans.
Yeah. Like a badge
at
of
least
honor?
For men.
Yeah, can you just see
did
that
anyone else just
ridiculous?
Get scared? Dave hadn't talked to the whole show, and it just...
Like a badge of honor?
It came out of nowhere.
You said Levi's does it on the outside yeah. of the men's jeans?
Yeah. Like, there's that leather yeah. tag that says, like,
the waist
32 and, by 32, yeah, oh, 38 waist, by 30.
Never noticed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the length and the...
Perhaps it's on the male's jeans as well. I just never noticed
doubt it.
Yeah.
It always struck me as weird, though.
I take the permanent marker. I'm like, ah, that's not a 34. That's a 33.
So you're fasting today, right?
I am. I'm struggling here. I got about an hour to go.
Oh, you can
I'm
do hungry. That.
I know I can. I'm drinking so much coffee. It's ridiculous.
So the last time you ate was like 7 o'clock last night?
Yeah. And that's all I'm thinking about is I have some ribs that are calling my name when I get home.
So you can eat until when? Next Sunday?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I eat like crap on Sunday, so that's why I'm just trying to just on Mondays make it a, hey, you know what? I ate so bad yesterday, I'm just going to not eat at all today for 24 hours. It's working.
What does crap look like for Dave Klein? What's your go-to?
Chips in the afternoon, a couple beers.
Here we go.
Some ice cream. You know, I'll keep it real like that, but, you know.
I'm glad that he's one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been strange to have someone on the show who had like a healthy relationship with
food.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah. He's always like, I can't, I'm fasting.
Yeah, we don't need that. We don't need that.
There's never been a stranger group of eaters.
Oh man.
No, right?
Anywhere.
We could do a 4-hour show every day on food and never run out of content. No one wants that, but we could do it.
It would be a terrible show, but you know.
But we could do it.
We could do it. Here you go, Rach.
We could do that terrible show.
There's a
write to us and tell us if you want that, because maybe we'll do it. Who's to say?
There's a speech therapist who has not taught her dog to physically speak, but like Coco the ape, the gorilla, he can really, really communicate through these buttons.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
she's saying, like, look, anyone can do it. And her whole premise is, oh, all animals know what's going on.
I've seen that on TikTok. Dogs and cats learn to use the buttons.
Like they know what's going on.
But then they'll be like, mommy, stay home. Don't go out. And I just can't deal with that. Yeah. I don't need that guilt trip from my cat.
Why you no lick? Can't reach. Why you do nothing but lick? I can't drive.
Time for that Cardinal game.
I have terrible credit, but I can lick. Is it time to go yet?
Cardinal time.
It's been time to go.
It feels like time to go.
Take it out to the ball game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.